When a data center is coming to your community, it's too good to be true.
In 20 years, we may look back and go like, I'm not sure we should have done that. But right now, it feels right.
All over the country, states and local governments have been rolling out the red carpet for data centers.
America's newest boom towns aren't mines, they're data centers.
Nothing less than a digital gold rush.
Driving that is AI.
They're offering huge tax breaks and other financial incentives to developers and tech companies. And what do communities get in exchange?
Google's $40 billion announcement.
Tech titans pouring billions of dollars.
$27 billion.
$600 billion.
Skilled tradespeople are needed to build these high-tech centers.
Dozens of jobs.
Everyone's jobs will change.
Hundreds of jobs. Jobs.
High-paying jobs.
Over 100,000 American jobs almost immediately.
But is that actually true?
They take great care of us. They pay travel. They give us per diem.
The cluster of data centers in your community may not provide you any benefit whatsoever.
And I traveled from my home state of Oregon, which has seen mass layoffs and disappearing tax revenue.
Breaking news, Intel announced that it would be laying off more than 500 people.
That number has since jumped to nearly 2,400 people.
Today, we're going to ask, are the economic trade-offs powering the data center boom actually worth it for the rest of us? The answer is a lot more nuanced than I expected.
I moved to Oregon 9 months ago for the peace and quiet. It's a rural state, and agriculture has a $42 billion economic footprint here, supporting more than 500,000 jobs. But farmers I spoke to tell me they're under threat.
I'm in Hillsboro, Oregon, and right behind me is an 1800s farmhouse. And 5 years ago, we were surrounded by hundreds of acres of farmland. Today, it's data centers everywhere you look.
These are all data centers. They call this the Data Center Alley of Hillsboro.
There was a tulip farm here. There was a big grass seed operation, an ecosystem of farming that that this land supports.
Aaron Nichols is a farmer in Hillsboro, Oregon, 20 miles from where I live in Portland. He was the first stop in my investigation because before digging into the jobs at data centers, I wanted to know what happens to other industries when big tech moves in.
How many people do you employ here on the farm?
We employ about 10 people on our farm on about 15 acres. We could expand and grow more food for more people, but buying land is nearly impossible because people are hoping to hold on to it and sell it for a windfall profit.
And it's not just his business.
People that need an automotive shop or that are going to open an electrical firm or a small computer firm, they look at that land price and they're completely out of the market.
Not only are they driving away other businesses, data centers are driving up costs too. Pacific Power and Portland General Electric customers saw a 50% increase in their electricity bills since 2020. Analysts say that data center growth is a major factor. And what's worse, data centers aren't contributing as much money to the community as you might think. That's because Oregon's laws give data centers some $330 million a year in tax breaks.
There are a number of incentive systems to come to Oregon. The Enterprise Zone is a 5-year no property tax waiver for building industrial or building jobs. Out of that comes schools, parks, fire, police, municipal. We've lost that revenue for 5 years.
Local residents are already seeing the impacts from this lost tax revenue. A report from Good Jobs First found Oregon schools lost $275 million to property tax abatements that could have gone to hire 3,600 teachers.
If they would have paid their annual taxes, their property taxes would have been $7.22 million.
So they're getting about $6.5 million off their taxes.
That's right, that they're not paying.
Without tax revenue from data centers, the people who live in Hillsboro are going to end up suffering because they're not going to have the high-quality schools that they deserve. And a lot of that cash is just going to flow straight through the city like a sieve.
We're all paying our taxes for the schools. The data centers are not. It feels like that money is being kind of extracted from our community. We pay the infrastructure costs. We don't see tax revenue. And we see the profits being funneled out to people we'll never meet.
Do you want a pen or a utensil?
Pen.
For the Nichols family, it's personal.
Here we go.
How is the shortfall for the school district here? How is that impacting your family?
My son's autistic. It makes it so that he cannot get an aide full time, and it definitely makes it harder on us. We love our teachers. They're amazing. But we do see them doing more with less, and sometimes, unfortunately, less with less.
We actually even lost a fifth and a fourth grade teacher. So that was a third and
fourth grade after he splits, and the fifth and sixth grade after he splits.
The city of Hillsborough has been making a lot of economic development decisions. At their meetings, the public really hasn't been consulted about what kind of economic development they want and what they want to see from that.
I reached out to the economic development director in Hillsborough, Dan Diaz, but his office said he was, quote, not available for this discussion.
Okay, so data centers have both driven down jobs from other industries and depleted key tax revenue. So what have they brought to Hillsborough? What was the trade-off? Driving around the area, it's clear that the construction of these massive data centers has created a demand for temporary construction jobs in Oregon. Electrician Ashley Cummings wanted to get in on that gold rush.
I was studying to be a CNA and randomly decided I'm going to go be an electrician because those data centers look busy. It was a really good idea. I make a lot of money. It was great. But I don't know if it's going to last very long. I think after we get them up, they don't need us anymore.
Ashley says her husband works on data centers too, but not in Oregon. He's nearly 2,000 miles away in Abilene, Texas.
My husband decided to go work in Abilene, one of the biggest data centers built in the country. Big as all of the data centers here in Hillsborough combined into one.
To find out more about what these jobs are really like, I decided to head to Abilene myself.
This is OpenAI's massive Stargate AI data center in Abilene, Texas, a $500 billion project with Oracle and NVIDIA. The companies say they're creating some 6,000 temporary construction jobs and some 1,700 long-term jobs. And the state of Texas has given more than $1 billion in tax breaks to welcome data centers. Google announced it's investing $40 billion towards three new data centers in Texas. This is what Google CEO Sundar Pichai had to say.
We are excited that our data center and energy investments are going to create jobs. Google currently employs thousands of Texans, and we support countless more jobs across the state through our work with local businesses. Second, our continued investment in the state over many years will support thousands of construction jobs.
Texas will be the centerpiece for AI data centers for Google in the entire world.
I came across some construction workers with a California license plate. Just like Ashley's husband, these workers weren't locals.
And they're from all over, from California, Texas, Florida, Oklahoma, North Dakota, West Virginia, all over the United States. We have a lot of stuff energized right now, and pretty soon we're gonna turn on a quarter of the substation, which is gonna be 345,000 volts.
What made you wanna travel this far?
The money.
23-year-old Ty Fields is from Sacramento. He's working as an electrician on the substation that will power Stargate, earning $3,200 a week.
That's pretty great money for a 23-year-old, you know.
Can't beat that.
Can't beat that.
These are different jobs I've worked on at different companies I've been with. One from Skanska, one from Descorp, Phoenix 12, Phoenix 13.
He's sharing an Airbnb for $1,400 a week with a few roommates.
Sit on the bed, make yourself look comfortable.
Including 22-year-old Damian Alvarado from San Antonio.
You see yourselves in this for a long time?
Yeah, I think that electrical and substations especially are very important. I mean, they're going to be around forever, you know, until humanity destroys itself.
It is a bit dystopian.
Very dystopian, yeah. It is. On par, 100%. 1984, Fahrenheit 451, Brave New World. Those are all literary pieces that are pretty much line for line what's going on in America today.
Thousands of temporary workers like Ty and Damian are good news for the real estate industry in Abilene. Short-term housing revenue is up 40% this year, and hotels up 91%. Compared to the same quarter last year.
Sometimes it's $150 a night, sometimes it's $250.
The housing crunch has been great for Airbnb owners like Ken Hogan, who also heads up Abilene's Real Estate Association.
And yet, we really haven't had any trouble keeping it occupied, so we think it's priced fairly.
Apartments are almost 100% occupied, with rents increasing 20% in the last year.
They pay, and they expect to pay, a premium for the properties. As soon as we put them out, we have multiple inquiries and applications on them. So it's been good for us.
Just the fact of having that many workers out there, you know, 6,000-7,000 people, you know, they're going to buy clothing here, fuel, food, and they're going to eat in our restaurants, stay in our properties and hotels.
But there's another side.
I've had days where I've literally cried about it when I can't get a place.
Thousands of residents like Honesty, who works as a home health aide in Abilene, can't find a place to live. She is one of 1,000 people in Abilene who have received a housing voucher from the city's housing authority, but can't find a landlord willing to take it, with data center workers driving up the rent.
I get it, they're here to build on Abilene, but as far as like personal care aid people, we're also needed because we're the people that make sure that your next door neighbor, like, you know, they get their mail or their trash gets taken out, or like they get to their doctor's appointments, like things like that.
So if you can't find a place to live, can you stay working here?
No.
Texas is a natural place to study. They have 254 counties.
Economics researcher Michael Hicks decided to study the rise of data centers in Texas to understand what communities are actually getting in return for massive tax abatements. He published his report on Substack. So what did he find?
They're not creating jobs. They're not adding income. They're not providing tax revenue to Texans to build schools, to maintain their road network, or to improve their electric infrastructure, which is a problem in the state.
He also found something that really disputes the whole idea that data centers are creating new jobs.
Transitioning people from a non-data center-related information services into data centers. The men and women you see working at a data center site, many of them would have been on a residential or apartment building construction site.
When it comes to tax breaks and financial incentives, Hicks found a lot of similarities in Texas to what I observed in Oregon.
Do I have enough safe school buses to get my kids to school? Do I have enough police officers patrolling downtown? Do I have good water and sewer protection? Now, these are things that Texans have to be concerned with, as residents around the country do. It doesn't really pass the common sense test, much less the benefit cost test for most local communities.
Hey, Commissioner.
How you doing?
How are you? Thanks for having us.
You bet. Come on in.
Thank you.
I took Michael Hicks's findings to Taylor County Commissioner Randy Williams, who was one of the government leaders who agreed to approve a tax abatement for the data center companies, allowing Lancium, Oracle, OpenAI, and others to forego paying taxes on 80% of their property value for the next 10 years.
He says that state and local governments should suspend existing tax incentives and defer any future incentive decisions until more analysis has been completed. Do you agree with that assessment?
No, I don't agree with that at all. It's, we're anticipating when that thing is done and all the buildings are open, between 400 and 1,200 additional jobs.
A lot of the job creation is just job transfer from other industries temporarily. They're leaving jobs to take these jobs. They're not new jobs.
Yeah.
So why don't communities slow down, take a pause, and assess
this? You could slow down if you want to. And then it's not going to happen in your community because these companies are moving. They're going to be down the road someplace else, and your community is going to get passed over.
The public should be very concerned when companies like Meta, Google, Amazon make these promises around the types of jobs that they're bringing into the community.
Finally, I talked to a worker who actually knew these data centers from the inside.
I thought that by applying to work at the Google data center, this was my ticket.
Shannon Waite worked at a Google data center in South Carolina until 2021.
I was contracted through Adecco, which is a large contracting agency working on Google servers, Google computers, and the data center.
Shannon had high hopes it would turn into a full-time gig.
Anytime a new building was about to be built or go up, we would be so excited because we thought that meant that Google was going to open up a headcount for more full-time employees.
When Shannon brought up money and asked coworkers about their bonuses, a superior told her she was not allowed to discuss pay, and security walked her out of the building. She filed unfair labor practice charges. Shannon now works as a community organizer. It's clear that there are no clear-cut answers when it comes to the real trade-offs of AI. It is true that some workers are seeing benefits with high pay, but even those workers, like Ty and Damien, understand that the bigger picture is a lot darker.
Seeing data centers sometimes makes me furious. It often makes me sad. It feels like we made a mistake as a society. I think about the people who used to farm there, but mostly I think about my kids. Not only what are they going to do for jobs, because I have no illusions that my kids will be farmers. But where will they find their food?
We're going to keep tracking this. So if you're a data center worker with a story, please send us a tip at stories@perfectunion.us. Before you go, please support our work by liking this video and subscribing to our channel. We're always looking to tell more stories like this one, unpacking economic systems that impact all of our daily lives. Are there issues you want to see us cover? Sound off in the comments, and don't forget to like and subscribe.